Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot to talk about today. War being on the top of the list. We're talking about Ukraine and what is going on there with the latest of the extended deadline and the peace proposals as Russia continues to dominate on the actual battlefield. We have a lot to talk about today, and we'll be joined in the third hour by a very special guest, Chud the Builder. Chud the Builder. He might sound like a cut character from a kid's cartoon. He's not. He's not that. No, but he is one of the many victims over the last year of law enforcement essentially trying to destroy the First Amendment piece by piece, using little workarounds, charging them for things other than the words they say, but that's really what people are being punished for. So we'll talk to him about how we're losing free speech sort of through the back door here in America. Very excited to talk to him. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 11th of December, 2025. How COVID vaccines can cause heart damage. That's right. It's now been discovered the mechanism by which COVID mRNA vaccines cause heart damage, including myocarditis. Immune systems triggered by mRNA jabs may inflame cardiac cells, with young men most at risk, scientists find. COVID mRNA vaccines can cause heart damage by triggering immune cells to go on the attack and attack your own heart. More than 2,000 people in Britain suffered inflammation of the heart, myocarditis, or heart lining, pericarditis, following vaccinations, with young men particularly vulnerable. This is an amazing discovery for them to make 4 years after we did, but congratulations, science, you've caught up to what we all knew from our own observation. Well done. Meanwhile, Trump launches $1 million gold card program for fast-tracked visas. So I know he's been slipping in the polls a little bit. He's losing a lot of support. His base is fractured. But I think this will bring everybody together, right? Because this is what we voted for. This is exactly what we voted for. Selling out our birthright for $1 million. Fantastic. It's amazing because, you know, obviously, if I was China with an infinite amount of money, because I'm the Chinese government, then I would be minting American citizens for a measly $1 million. That's a very convenient workaround. Thanks, Trump. Meanwhile, Maryland judge orders ICE to immediately release Kilmar Obrego Garcia. Yes, that's right, folks. That guy. Remember that guy? Yeah, I don't know if we have a country at all at this point. This one guy, I don't know what to call it, this one dude, we can't get him out of the country. It's been 11 months. We've tried everything we possibly can, and it's just, we just keep tossing them around like a hot potato. If the American government in 11 months cannot just get rid of this guy, what are we even doing here? In the same amount of time, we can bring in 3 million people from Guatemala on planes and give them $1,000 gift cards and 5-star hotel rooms, but we can't kick one non-American out of our country. Kilmar Obrego Garcia, a name none of us should have ever had to learn. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be sitting behind this desk in 2035 explaining how for the 10,000th time, Kilmar Obrego Garcia has either been deported or undeported or released or arrested. We're never going to get rid of this guy. He's like herpes. He's just going to keep coming back and back and back. I don't even care about this guy. Are we a country or not? Can we do anything at all ever or not? Okay, great. Okay, one guy, we can't get rid of him. He's not a citizen. He committed crimes here. He was caught trafficking people across the border, not across the border, but transporting illegal immigrants. And we just can't get rid of him. We can't send him back to where he was born and raised and is still a citizen. We can't do it. We can't do it. Yeah. We'll be back on the other side. I'll finish out. I got distracted by the fact that Kilmar Obrego Garcia still exists for some reason.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-filament formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, folks. Finish up your daily dispatch here with things that are only going to make me angrier. Are you ready, folks? Are you ready? Cincinnati approves $8.1 million settlement with protesters over 2020 racial justice protests. That's right. The city of Cincinnati joins Seattle and Philadelphia and New York in paying out million-dollar settlements to the Black Lives Matter activists that burned the city down. So while January 6th so-called rioters were high-fiving police and wandering through the Capitol, they got served decades in prison. People actually throwing Molotov cocktails at the police, burning down their police precinct, and causing billions of dollars in damage are actually getting gigantic checks from the government for that. The American people are at this point paying for our own destruction. They burned our cities down and then sent us a bill for it, and we're paying it. The city of Cincinnati approved an $8.1 million legal settlement Wednesday with hundreds of nonviolent protesters who had alleged mistreatment at the hands of the city and county authorities when they were arrested during the racial justice demonstrations of 2020. The Cincinnati City Council approved the deal after its terms were outlined last week, and it brings to a close years of litigation that stemmed from the protests over the killings of George Floyd and other unarmed black people. Yeah, other unarmed black people. Yeah, they don't name them because they don't exist. You know, the killing of George Floyd and all those other people. Yeah, like who? There was that one woman. Of course, her boyfriend shot at the cops first, so she doesn't really count. And there was the guy who was jogging, but that was a citizen arrest, and he grabbed the gun and caused it to fire at himself. So that one didn't really count either. So anyway, so all the other ones, you know, all of the other ones that were so brutally killed by police when they were unarmed, you know the ones. None of the 479 plaintiffs had been charged with a felony or violent offense, nor been involved in any property damage, although some did occur. They were all charged with misdemeanor curfew violations during the nights of protests from May 30th to June 8th, 2020, but were later dismissed by the city amid a flurry of conflicting court rulings. Okay, so they, in a coordinated fashion, launched riots across the city that caused massive damage and were the scene of a lot of violent crime. So the city imposes curfews. These people ignore the curfews, get arrested as a consequence of those curfews. They weren't beaten. They weren't left in a, you know, non-air-conditioned room for a week, not being fed. They weren't given moldy bread and made sick in prison. They were temporarily detained and then released because they violated the curfew that had to come about because of the continuous violent rioting that was plaguing not just that city, but every city in the United States. And now we're paying them $8.1 million for the inconvenience of being arrested for a crime, but never being charged for it. Okay. And finally, just in, House passes $900 billion military defense bill. Hardline conservatives decry liberal provisions in Ukraine funding in bill. So if I remember it correctly, I believe this includes something like $900 million for Ukraine and $600 million for Israel. and many more. Ukraine, $800 million total, but $900 billion, another trillion-dollar defense bill, as one of the more egregious taps flowing. One of the more egregious, you know, spigots of money farmed out of the American taxpayer and towards whatever mission the globalists have around the world. That has absolutely nothing to do with our best interest. Sure, could use that $900 billion to, you know, actually fix ourselves. You ever think about what you'd do? I was thinking back to the Freedom Tunes short that we showed last week with the levers of power. Whether there's a big building of the levers of power, and anything the American government could do, you just go in there and start pulling levers. And obviously the joke of that one was all of the levers just drop off Somalis in your backyard, which does seem to be the inevitable consequence of everything we do. But what would you do? And would it look anything like what the people in power choose to do? Like, it is so utterly insane. If you suddenly woke up and were in like some sort of weird steel room with like an iPad display, and you're like, where am I? And they're like, you're in charge now. It's all you. At your fingertips are every function of government. The budget's there. Everything is just for you, ready to go. What do you do? You just imagine, well, like, oh my God, anything? Billions of dollars, trillions. Okay, money to Israel. Like, okay, do you want to do anything else? Bah, money to foreigners? I don't know. I'll just keep hitting the money to everybody else button and see how that goes. Like, it wouldn't be hard. It wouldn't be hard if you had the power of the government. If you were the emperor of America, if I was emperor of America, it would take like a week. I think it'd take me a week. Maybe I'm a little overconfident. I'm giving myself some buffer, actually. Really, I think about 48 hours would be enough to get the ball rolling. But a week. I think if we had a week and a government who actually did the will of the people, it would be so easy. All this would be so easy. Now, we're constantly being gummed up and jammed up, and the entire system has been rigged for decades on end. It is this giant, dysfunctional legacy system that is just a burden on anybody trying to do anything good, while anybody doing anything negative and bad and painful to the American people finds no barriers in their way. It is utterly broken. If instead we had some sort of magic wand, if we had the ability to just fulfill the designs of the people who actually want the best for America, it'd be a matter of a week and we'd just be able to solve everything. $900 billion. I know we've talked about it before, but like, I don't know if you understand how much money that is. I don't know if any human being is even capable of fathoming what exactly we mean when we say $900 billion. So I've done it before where I laid out, because this is true no matter how many billions you're talking about. $1 billion is an unfathomable amount of money. Literally, it's like, I've done it before with things like George Soros. They say George Soros gave $18 billion. It was one of the first things I did on InfoWars, during one of our 34-hour broadcasts, you know, the overnight broadcast went in at 2 a.m. Michael Zimmerman was hosting. We went through a list of what you could buy with $18 billion. And it's truly unbelievable. It's like you could buy every single castle in Europe that's currently on the market. Thousands of them. You could literally own thousands of castles, hundreds of private islands. This is all $18 billion. You could have a space program and build a couple stadiums. And like, it's unbelievable what you could get with just, you know, $10, $20 billion. $900 billion? You really think if we gave Alex Jones a check for $900 billion, first of all, we could pay off our debt. That'd be great. We'd still have a little bit left over. But like, that's enough to solve every problem in America. I genuinely believe that. I'm not a communist. It's like, whatever. Elon Musk has $1 billion. He could feed every person in the world. Like, no, that's stupid. What are you talking about? But $900 billion in military equipment and the hundreds of thousands of troops, the millions of people we have employed by the government, if we just use them to expel foreigners and enforce the law, it would take a week and we'd be back on track. Those two things. That's it. I don't have any big secret plan. No, it's literally that easy. It's literally that easy. If we expelled foreigners and if we enforced the law that already exists, everything would be solved. Everything. And it is so unbelievably frustrating that we can't get anything done. And I've got examples of this. And it's just endless. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And one of the most frustrating things is the fact that despite blowing the Democrats out of the water in 2024, winning the election, both the public, I mean, the popular vote and the Electoral College, winning the House, winning the Senate, and yet the Democrats are still on the attack. And yet Republicans are still responding to Democrats. The word initiative apparently is missing from the lexicon of the Republican Party. The way you tell if you're winning is if they respond to you, is if they're on the back foot, if they're playing defense, you're winning. If they are instead on the march and coming after you, we have a really, really big problem. They are the minority in both houses of Congress. They do not have the presidency. Culturally, they should be on the back foot, except we've spent all of that political cachet over the last 11 months. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do exactly? Because right now, the House Democrats are launching impeachment files on Trump and Hegseth and RFK Jr. And hell, the Republicans might go along with them. I don't even know at this point. Republicans are still in office voting against Trump and stopping his policies from being implemented. Now, we understood this in the first administration. We understood that there were the deep state Republicans, there were the uniparty Republicans, and they were against Trump. They still are against Trump. It made more sense in the first administration because we hadn't had a taste of what the Democrats would do to us. Then we had 4 years of Biden. And friends of mine, innocent people who never hurt anybody, never broke a law, were pulled out of their home at gunpoint and thrown into a concrete box. And if it was up to the Democrats, they'd still be there until I was 60 years old. 25 years from now. So it doesn't make any sense. Did the Republicans not notice that? Do they think they're going to get away with being a Republican under Trump once the Democrats get back in charge? Do they not understand where we are at this point? In all, you know, precedent, if things were as they should be, it should be Democrats on the back foot. It should be filing articles of impeachment against every single judge that tries to interfere. It would be Republicans making demands, passing bills, forcing the hand of the Democrats, forcing them to capitulate on certain things so they can get other things that they need that we have the power to withhold. And Trump, by the way, would be using the massive war chest that he controls and that he is responsible for as the fundraiser in the Republican Party. He'd be using that to get the Republicans to carry out his agenda. Instead, the people around him have a plan to run him ragged over the next year, completely distract him from everything he should be doing as the president, and have him running on the campaign trail like it's 2024, being completely distracted and inconsequential when it comes to actual things he should be doing, while they spend their money and time and very, 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 very precious resources to campaign for people that don't even vote for what he wants. again, when it was Trump's first administration, it made sense. Okay, deep state Republicans, we know who they are. We've got their number. By this point, every Republican should understand it doesn't even matter if you like Trump. It doesn't even matter if you are on the same agenda as Trump. Do you want to be hauled out of your bed in the middle of the night? Do you want your children to be killed by roving mobs of like radical leftists? It's getting to that point. That's not a threat, by the way. That is a very stark and sincere warning to the Republicans. You have to understand what's coming. And you don't have to listen to me. And you know, all of this, everything from the Democrats, everything from the deep state, it's all so just like bafflingly, like it literally hurts my brain to even try to comprehend what I'm about to show you. And I think you'll understand why. Because for the entire time, for the entire campaign under Trump, it was already just the heights of absurdity to have them, the Democrats, the media, warning about the potential of Trump abusing his power, warning about the possibility, their own imagined fever dream of Trump using his power as president to carry out personal vindettas, to be vindictive and to, you know, use his authority to just go after his political opponents. And it was absurd at the time because Biden was doing it actively, had done it the entirety of his administration. That's what January 6th was. And they said it with no uncertain words. We're going after the high profile influencers in a shock and awe campaign to demoralize Trump supporters. Like it was clearly, expressly a political persecution. And so it was already absurd when they were claiming that Trump might do what they were already doing. Now that Trump is in office and not doing what they kept crying about him possibly doing, the Democrats are just openly threatening to do the thing that they've told us over and over and over and over again for years is the worst thing ever, the death of democracy. Gavin Newsom just published clip number 10, this video. It's an AI video of Trump and Hegseth and Stephen Miller in handcuffs being arrested. So this was just published by Gavin Newsom, governor of California, as a preview of what they intend. So it was already absurd when they were, you know, worried about Trump threatening to do what they were already doing. Now that Trump's not doing it, they're threatening to do it in a blatant and like incredibly offensive way. And it just like hurts my brain. Like, dude, does anybody in the Democrat Party care about anything real ever? Well, let's go to clip number 10 here, posted by Gavin Newsom. There's Trump and Hegseth and Miller sitting on the curb. It's cuffing season. Yeah, you're going to be arrested. This is what I don't understand. Trump, dude, you already spent 4 years. 4 years being hunted from courtroom to courtroom. Having every document you've ever had in your possession gone through with a fine-tooth comb so they could find something to misconstrue as a potential crime 20 years ago that they can, you know, resurrect in order to get you. Do you think you're going to ride off into the sunset? Do you think after this round they're going to go, good job, Trump. Thanks for not arresting all of us. We owe you one, buddy. Don't listen to me. Listen to them. You think this isn't what's coming for you? And I'm seeing more and more signals about this. You know, people in the know, there was a post today from somebody. I'll find it here in just a little bit. But they're essentially saying, like, the Democrats themselves are warning their friends, like, yeah, MAGA better, like, go through and delete tweets. Because once we're in power, the hammer's coming down. I mean, why is nobody else on this level? There's like people are on this level. Alex is on this level, right? People at InfoWars are on this level. Mike Cernovich is on this level. People seem to get it, but like 75% of right wingers seem just utterly blind to the real threat that we're under. The threat is not the debt. The threat is not like anything mental. It's nothing intangible. The threat is very real. The threat is Trump doesn't do what he has to. And even saying that now, as I said, I'm like, it's actually too late. It's actually already too late, especially with Susie Wiles in the White House. We played the clip yesterday. Maybe I just need to play this clip again because I've been thinking about it nonstop. I don't even think I realized what a crazy thing we were hearing yesterday when we played the Susie Wiles clip. Susie Wiles, Trump campaign manager, former Bibi Netanyahu campaign manager, chief of staff of the White House, is doing an interview where she says Trump doesn't know it yet, but in order to save the midterms, Trump's going to be campaigning in 2026 like it's 2024. He's going to be treating the midterms like a presidential campaign. So what I understand from that, it is as soon as the new year hits, and as soon as the political industry kicks into campaign gear, Trump is done being president. How are you supposed to be president if you're traveling state to state every day? I mean, like a presidential campaign. She described it as a presidential campaign, that same level. Every day doing stump speeches, every day, sometimes doing multiple stump speeches, every day going from location to location to location, giving interviews, giving stump speeches, shaking hands. When's he going to have time to do anything else? And why is Susie Wiles sitting there saying Trump doesn't know this yet, but here's what he's going to be doing next year? So I think it might already be over. I think we might already be done. I mean, it's December 11th. By this time next month, the statute of limitations for many of the crimes on January 6th, 2021 will have expired. So are we going to do it in the next 2 weeks when Congress is out of session? Are we going to get a Christmas miracle of all of the criminals, all of their rampant criminality from January 6th and beyond? It's going to be water under the bridge. Nothing we can do about it. So I know Democrats are happy to take a crime that was 20 years ago and just say, oh, the statute of limitations, we're ignoring it today and just doing it anyway, because they can just do that because the law doesn't matter to them. So even if it was a crime, the statute of limitations ended 10 years ago. Hey, it's Trump, so the statute of limitations just doesn't count anymore. I know they do that. We don't. So all of the people that arrested all of our friends, bankrupted them, put them in solitary confinement for months on end, coerced them by threatening decades in prison to try to get them to flip on Donald Trump so that they could throw him in prison for the rest of his life. All of these real crimes against American people are going to go unpunished while Trump is gallivanting around the country working for people that don't support him in the Congress. Trump needs to fire Susie Wiles, and he needs to give Alex Jones a call. We need some FaceTime with Donald Trump. He needs to come home from Mars or wherever he's living these days, because his support is cratering and he's about to be effectively taken off of the table for a year while he campaigns for a Congress that does nothing for him. And I don't think it's his idea. I think it's hers.
For me, with everything going on, the big takeaway is the world is in a fourth turning, a mega change. The globalists know that. Their plan is failing. And just because we're opposing them doesn't mean things aren't going to derail and get really, really nasty. It just means coming out of all these crises, we have a shot of building a civilization and having some civilization survive and then rebooting it and building something even better going into a new golden era. Anyone in general not rooting for Trump and his economic plans is insane. And for the left, not distributed around the world, that want economic collapse, believing they're going to bring in their new socialist utopia or communist utopia on its ashes, in all the actuaries and all the futurist studies and all the Rand Corporation analysis and my own, and there's really nobody, including the establishment, that thinks you're going to get your New World Order, transhumanist, communist, Great Reset now. That's what everyone's rebelling against. That's the old system that they were trying to push as the new system. But just because that's falling apart, again, doesn't mean that we're out of the woods. And I came across articles today talking about rich enclaves in the United States, and there's others around the world, where the ultra-rich don't want to be next to a big city. They don't want to be next to the glitz and glamour. There's mass exoduses to rural areas where they're building armored redoubts where you'll have 20 to 30 to 40 rich people, and I mean people building $40 million houses and bunkers, ahead of what's happening. And then there's even more ultra-rich that have all sorts of hidden facilities in the middle of nowhere. And the ultra-rich have giant fleets of yachts and flotillas where you've got a lot of these Google billionaires will have a line of 6-7 ships, some that are just massive. And they own private islands in the South Pacific, but then they also know things are so dangerous. They're ready to flee there. So that acceleration of people running for the hills and building their bunkers has been going on for a long time, but it's just peaking and peaking and peaking is a big deal. So when you got signs like that, it gives you a little bit of an idea of what we're navigating here. Yeah, here he is this year, warning of Terminator-style apocalypse. Oh, well. You can go back to 2005-06 where I did reports on that. But now this information is everywhere. And like I've said to Zuckerberg on air and in other ways, in the last few years, I said, you better come and join us. You better stop attacking us from behind. If you think you're going to be safe in that armored fortress you've built there in Kauai, think again. I'm not threatening you. I can tell you I love Kauai. I've been there many times. The last few times I went, I cannot go to a store, to the beach, anywhere, or go on a fishing trip without everybody telling me how they can't wait till things collapse to come get you. I mean, the villagers practically have their torches lit. Well, Zuckerberg's got escape yachts as well, and reportedly an escape submarine, an underground deal. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The point is, guys, that's not going to protect you long-term if stuff collapses. What's going to protect you is getting out of what you're doing and helping turn civilization and society around, okay? And if you think during a total collapse at a few weeks or a few months into it that your security detail isn't going to turn on you, that's a whole other thing.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, Infowars.com, band.video. Please do share those links. You know, we are still being crushed by the algorithm, and sharing the links is a surefire way to circumvent that. Now, we have a first look here at the alleged assassin of Charlie Kirk, Tyler Robinson. He appeared in court today. His first in-person appearance, he was wearing civilian clothes. They didn't make him wear the orange jumpsuit, something they have been doing pretty frequently. They did the same thing with Luigi Mangione. Here it is. This is the video. This is him, the first look, other than his mugshot and one or two appearances by Zoom earlier on that we showed you when they aired back in October. But this is the first time he's actually been seen in person. He's very strange. He's very strange looking. Maybe that's all we can gather from this, but he's kind of a creepy-looking dude, and he's smiling the whole time. He seems to be in a good mood, which just I'm just putting myself in his position. If I was being falsely accused of something, I don't know, maybe I would be happy that I'd be in court. I'm not sure what we can make of this, and there's not too much coming out of it. The whole ordeal was a closed-door thing, and we can keep playing this B-roll video since it's all we have, and we only have a few images. This is one of the stills from the courtroom, but it was a closed door hearing. And one of the things they're deciding is whether or not there will be cameras in the court proceedings, which I think for the stability of our nation, there has to be. There has to be. Obviously, it's still very much up in the air. A lot of people have very strong opinions on who killed Charlie Kirk and why, and whether Robinson's a patsy or not. And I've been sort of involved in that from early on because I happened to, by sheer coincidence or, you know, God-ordained alignment, whatever it is, I happened to be the one to tweet out before he was killed that he was scared Israel would kill him. So I'm often brought in. I'll comment on it. But I've always withheld my judgment. I've come to no conclusions whatsoever. I am suspicious of a lot of the evidence they've presented so far. My leaning is that this reeks of a patsy, this reeks of a cover-up, exactly the same way that we've seen in other famous assassinations. The fact that he apparently, I mean, the details of it have all been jumbled and misconstrued and misrepresented a million times over. So even to get to the heart of what is actually being alleged and what has been proven is hard to even, you know, wrap your hands around, which is why we need to see the evidence presented in court. I've withheld saying what I believe exactly, because even if what I'm seeing from the FBI doesn't quite align with my observation, I haven't seen it all. I haven't seen it presented in a court. I haven't seen, you know, the opposition try to debunk it. I'm actually glad that we are having a trial. I'm extremely glad he hasn't been killed like Jeffrey Epstein yet. We're actually going to be able to hear his side of the story. And if he is a patsy, I imagine he'll be making that argument. Assuming, of course, he survives to the trial and they don't Jack Ruby him in the meantime. You got a couple options. You can Jeffrey Epstein somebody. You can Jack Ruby somebody. You can Jack Ruby the way Jack Ruby was done, where they gave him cancer in prison and he died in like a month from a fast-acting cancer that was delivered by a CIA agent who pretended to be a psychiatrist. There's some deep rabbit holes to go down with all of these high-profile assassinations, and this one's no different. So this is what we have so far. This is all we know. It was a preliminary hearing. What we have out of it is at least the image of Tyler Robinson himself smiling and smirking and whispering to his counsel. So again, what we have is he appeared in civilian clothing. He was restrained in handcuffs. He has three public defenders, Kathy Nestor, Michael Burt, and Richard Novak. Robinson smirked and laughed with his lawyers before Judge Graff began the proceedings. According to Fox News, this is interesting, and this must be a new development here. Around 6:30 p.m. on the day of the assassination, 22-year-old Robinson made contact with an officer posted up at a perimeter near where the murder weapon was discovered. Reports of Robinson's encounter with law enforcement line up with text messages sent to his transgender lover and roommate, Lance Twiggs. And so we'd seen the text messages before, but we hadn't heard that he'd actually made personal contact with an officer. And so I suppose that was a piece of evidence offered in this hearing, which would contribute to the story of him being the patsy. We at least, if that officer is to be believed, he was there. Tyler Robinson was there in the area of the attack, which it was not something we'd really had solidified other than statements from the FBI so far. There have been videos of him elsewhere, at the Dairy Queen and these other places. Yeah, I mean, he looks strung out and stoned in this picture. And this picture is from when he was first arrested. That was his original mugshot. He actually looks better now. He actually looks kind of like more bright-eyed now, which I guess, you know, if we're to believe the rumors about his lifestyle beforehand, maybe a couple of months of detox is doing good for him. Robinson told Twiggs that the police officers were swarming the area. There's a squad car parked by it, but I think they already swept that spot and don't want to chance it. I'm wishing I circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got to my vehicle. So again, that does seem to align with what we've heard now. Now, the charges are this. Count one, aggravated murder. Count two, reckless discharge of a firearm causing bodily injury. Count three, felony obstruction of justice for hiding the firearm. Count four, felony obstruction of justice for discarding the clothing he wore during the shooting. Then you have witness tampering for asking the roommate to delete incriminating messages. Witness tampering for demanding trans roommate stay silent, not speak to police. Commission of a violent offense in the presence of a child. So seven counts. They are seeking the death penalty in Utah. And these are the first images we're getting of Tyler Robinson. He looks very young there. He's got kind of zitty face. He's got kind of some acne going on. And I don't know. I don't want to judge somebody too much by their appearance. But you can tell a lot from someone's face. And he doesn't seem, I don't know. Is it offensive to say he doesn't have the most competent face? Does that even make sense? It makes sense to me. When you just look at his face, it doesn't scream, you know, high intelligence, highly motivated, you know, activist, but maybe that's what he is. He looks slow, okay? What I'm trying to say is he looks like he's a bit slow in the mind. I don't know if he is, but this is the first we're seeing of him, and that's my first impression. So take that for what it's worth. So this is in Provo, Utah. Guy, he's got a kind of sinister look when he turns towards the camera. And where he's looking through his eyebrows, he almost has the Kubrick stare. Full Metal Jacket. So again, we'll bring you any updates if we hear anything about this. So far, this is just a sort of a procedural thing, nothing bombshell to bring you. But maybe if we get a plea agreement or, you know, anything, we'll let you know, and the crew will stay on that and bring me an article or the video if anything breaks. But this is a closed hearing, so we didn't really expect to have any video out of this. And what we do have is just him sitting there. So we'll see. But this could be this is a very important case. This is a monumentally important case for the American people. And really for the friends of Charlie Kirk, who are being torn apart right now because nobody trusts anybody. The official story is not exactly massively compelling. The questions that arose immediately after the assassination have still never been answered, even though they've been referenced by the FBI after Kash Patel originally came out and said, we're going to answer all the questions. We're going to answer the questions about the planes. We'll answer the questions about the text messages. We're doing this research and it's an ongoing case, but, you know, don't worry. And he enumerated exactly what all the questions were. Now, hopefully those are answered, at least in part, during the proceedings. But so far we have nothing. And so, of course, the speculation is running wild, and there are a lot of strange occurrences that, you know, beg for an explanation. And so really, for especially the right wing to be able to put this behind us, we need to be able to see a prosecution that is as, you know, transparent and convincing. It's almost like they have an even higher bar, like beyond the barrier of beyond a reasonable doubt. They almost have to present this case that is beyond any doubt whatsoever, because they've already done such a, frankly, a bad job of handling this that most people that I know who are looking into it, I don't know if you'll ever convince them. I mean, they're so solidified in their position. They are sure Tyler Robinson is a patsy, and I think it's a high probability he's a patsy. And if the FBI wants to convince us otherwise, they're really going to have to just show us step by step how this thing happened. And they should be able to. Because that's the thing. Because everybody knows that there are security cameras all over the place on that campus. Everybody knows that there's body cam footage, there's cell phone footage. There is so much coverage of that entire area that if it was Tyler Robinson, they should be able to show Tyler Robinson getting to the location. They should be able to show him getting his rifle out of his car. They should be able to show him climbing up to the roof, getting on the roof, lining up the shot, firing the shot, running down. I mean, if that is not presented to us, like in an unbroken chain where we get to see him jumping off the roof, we get to see him crossing the parking lot, we get to see him going towards the bushes where the rifle was eventually found. If we don't get to see the body cam footage of the police officer who found the rifle, like if it's not airtight, no one's going to believe it. We're going to have another Epstein situation. And that's why I'm worried, because they've done this before. Because when everybody had questions about the Jeffrey Epstein debacle, they came out with a video to silence everybody, and it had a minute missing. And so it didn't solve anything. It only made people ask more questions. So that's the situation we're in with Tyler Robinson, where people already have questions. They already are suspicious. If you want to allay these suspicions, if you want to put down the speculation, you have to answer the questions. You have to lay out the timeline second by second with no gaps. That's going to be their job here. Anything less than that, we'll be here 60 years from now, just like the JFK assassination. He's got a weird look, man. He's got a very big chin. He almost has, people used to say that about Charlie Kirk, but I see it with this guy. His face is too small for his head almost. Anyway, we'll bring you more as we get it. I'm just hoping we get, you know, statement from him or anything. I'd like to hear his voice. But it is closed proceedings now. They have to open the proceedings. It has to be all broadcast live, all of it. And we have to be able to see that what is happening here is a legitimate trial. So we'll see. And this could be great. Hey, you know what? Maybe the best case scenario is they present the most slam dunk, unquestionable prosecution that everybody, that Candace Owens herself will come out and go, they got him. They got him. I'm convinced. Like, that's the standard we need. They need to be going with the Candace Owens standard. That's, and again, like, I'm being completely serious. I'm not even being facetious here. The prosecution needs to be thinking, what do we have to do to convince Candace Owens? Because we convince her, then we convince everybody. And that's what you're going to have to do, because nobody's going to believe it if we don't get the actual evidence. Not the assertions, not being demonized for asking the questions. We need the answers. We need the timeline. We need the step-by-step, point-by-point. We need to hear from the parents. We need to hear from the friends. I want to see Lance Twiggs up on the stand answering questions. I don't want to read court transcripts later. We have to watch it live. Of course, that's if we want to move forward as a country and actually have faith in our system. So, in all likelihood, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what they're going to do? At this point, I put nothing past them. See, this is the difficulty with like where we are now in this sort of conspiracy frame. Things are so crazy. Things have gone so far. You really can't project what people are going to do. Like I was just talking about with the Republicans. You would think that self-preservation would at the very least kick in at some point. Right? You can predict people's behavior if like, all right, they're going to die. If they keep going, they're probably going to stop. Right? You genuinely can tell self-preservation, but like then you look at what the Republicans are doing and it's like, okay, here you are, a train barreling towards a brick wall, and you just are ignoring it. You know that, and yet you don't care. So I can't really predict what you're going to do. If you have no self-preservation, if you have no, you know, desire to even look like you're doing something good, then how can I even trust you? Or how can I predict anything that you're going to do? You know, so if we had a government that in any way reflected the I don't know, just a human consciousness trying to do what's best, then they would have an open hearing and, you know, everything would be by the book and he would be kept safe and we would all let it play out in front of the eyes of the world. That's actually what we need to do. God only knows what we're actually, it could be a closed door thing. He could end up being suicided in the middle of the night. I mean, we just have no idea. Maybe they'll just drug the hell out of him and he'll just sit there in a, you know, cathartic stupor while the world spins around him, kind of like they do with a lot of the mass shooters that are on psychotropic drugs. That'll be another interesting thing. Hopefully that will come out. But we need everything. We need all the information. It's a pretty simple solution. Like the vast majority of the world's problems would be solved with openness and transparency. That really is like a solve, a balm for all ills when it comes to politics. Just openness, truthfulness. Right in people's faces. If they're wrong, show them they're wrong. There's Brian Koberger. I'm telling you, they got to look. Brian Koberger is the man accused of stabbing the four in Idaho, Moscow, Idaho, I believe it's called. They got a similar look. There's something to that. I don't know what it is. It's the physiognomy is the phrase, but we won't read too much into that. Maybe as the physiognomy of a patsy. Actually, he does look a little bit like Brian Koberger. He also looks a lot like Lee Harvey Oswald. There's a very distinct similarity between him and Lee Harvey Oswald, in my opinion. Again, I'd like to hear him talk. I'd like to hear what he has to say. So we'll move on. That is the latest with Tyler Robinson. Again, we'll bring you any updates, anything that happens during that hearing, but it is just a preliminary, perfunctory sort of thing, so we don't expect much, and we'll bring you anything as we get it. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com quickly, because you're running out of time to get your orders in before Christmas. It's the 12 Days of Christmas sale, 40% off absolutely everything on the site. That's thealexjonesstore.com, and we have just incredible products there. The Ultramethylene Blue, of course, is an absolute life changer. The Bovine Colostrum Plus is liquid gold. We need to start calling it that, liquid gold, because that's what as people refer to as refer to colostrum as. Remember, we showed the video yesterday about why you don't have to give your kid the vitamin K injection, and part of it is because colostrum is specifically designed to have all of the nutrients that a brand new baby needs, which means it's just the most powerful superfood the world has ever seen. Of course, that's true in humans and specifically designed for humans, but it's the same for cows, and we harvest them from cows. It's the bovine colostrum plus, but it's the highest quality available, and it's absolutely incredible. It's one of these products that you see on InfoWars, and then you start seeing it everywhere else. I just noticed this. Some of the YouTubers I watched suddenly started getting advertisements for colostrum, so suddenly started reading live reads for colostrum. I don't know about their brand, but it's becoming more and more popular. Just remember who the original was and go to thealexjonesstore.com to get the original bovine colostrum plus, the best on the market at the best price, since you're getting 40% off during this 12 days of Christmas super sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, I have a lot of videos to go to from hearings today in the Senate and the House. You had Joe Kent as well as Kristi Noem and several others being questioned by the Democrats. And there was one event in particular. It was actually one of the first things I saw as I looked into it today. It's clip number 9. And to be honest, it was one of the things where I was like, I thought the Democrats had a win. I really thought, I saw the headline, I saw a tweet with the video, and I thought, nah, they stepped in it this time. The Trump, Trump people stepped in it this time because the headline said the Democrats caught Kristi Noem in a lie. And they ask her if she's ever deported a veteran, an American citizen. She says no, and they say, gotcha, you did deport somebody. And I got to admit, for a couple hours, I was like, oof, that didn't look good. That didn't look good. That's not going to play well. But then I looked into it. And it's not real. It's actually comically false what they assert. So here's the clip of the Democrat pretending to have a victory over Kristi Noem. Clip number 9, Democrat caught in massive fake news operation. Here it is.
Harry, how many United States military veterans have you deported?
Sir, we have not deported U.S. citizens or military veterans.
I don't believe you served in the military. I haven't either. But I think you and I can agree that as Americans, we owe everything to those who have served our country in uniform, particularly those who have served in combat. Do you agree with that?
Sir, I believe that people that are in this United States that are citizens have legal status here.
Madam Secretary, we are joined on Zoom by a gentleman named Sejun Park. He is a United States Army combat veteran who was shot twice while serving our country in Panama in 1989. Like many veterans, he struggled with PTSD and substance abuse after his service. He was arrested in the 1990s for some minor drug offenses, nothing serious. He never hurt anyone besides himself, and he's been clean and sober for 14 years. He is a combat veteran, a Purple Heart recipient. He has sacrificed more for this country than most people ever have. Earlier this year, you deported him to Korea, a country he hasn't lived in since he was 7 years old.
Whoa.
Will you join me in thanking Mr. Park for his service to our country?
Sir, I'm grateful for every single person that has served our country.
Whoa, humiliating mic drop moment here, right?
Every one of them needs to be enforced.
But now, you understand that.
We can take it down. You just heard it there. It was a gotcha. It was a classic gotcha. I bet that will be played on The Daily Show. I mean, that'll get airtime. Do you ever deport American veterans? No, sir, we don't. Well, let me introduce you to a veteran who'd been deported. Boom, right? Boom. Okay, here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. This man was not deported. He left on his own volition, and they wrote articles about this in June of this year when it happened. So that was just a flagrant, outright lie. But you have to understand, they know it's a lie. They don't care. They know that their constituents are too stupid to understand that it's a lie. When you lie that brazenly and with that intent, it works on stupid people. See, he just said that the American government has deported veterans illegally, right? Citizens that have fought for this country were deported by Kristi Noem. That is an outright lie, but it doesn't matter to them because they got the clip, and then the clip will spread. and people will believe the lie. And even if it's exposed later, they know that the mainstream media won't carry the correction. It won't get nearly the attention that it would. That lie just gets filed away with the rest of their lies to build this giant facade of lies that informs the entire worldview of the Democrat constituency. So it'll just add it to the, they deported Kilmar Abrego Garcia. He was an American citizen, Maryland man. They deported him. You know, they were killing people and arresting, you know, the woman that was yanked out of her car. She was yelling, "I'm an American citizen," and they hauled her out. And of course, they totally leave out that she was driving the car of her illegal immigrant boyfriend and then refused to hand over her ID to prove that she was a citizen because she wanted to create a spectacle, because she wanted to create the illusion of an American citizen being abused by ICE, because they're all liars and they're all in on it. Here's the actual story. Purple Heart Army veteran self-deports after nearly 50 years in the U.S. Se-Jun Park, it's him. I mean, they use his name. And this is from June 24th, 2025. 55-year-old Army veteran Se-Jun Park. This was the hardest moment of his life. Not getting shot in combat, not the years of battling post-traumatic stress disorder of addiction or addiction, not prison. It was leaving the U.S., a country he called home for nearly five decades. He was a green card holder who self-deported. His removal order was the result of charges related to drug possession and failure to appear in court from over 15 years ago, offenses that he said stemmed from years of untreated PTSD. So, self-deported non-citizen is presented as having been deported despite being a citizen. So just an abject, outright lie. And yet that was sort of the highlight for the Democrats of the entire show today. So sort of hoisted by their own petards, right? See, in June, they wanted to have a sob story about a Purple Heart veteran claiming that, you know, he was being betrayed by his government because, you know, he just never did what he was supposed to become a citizen. So he never became a citizen. He was a green card holder that self-deported. But they wanted to use that as a sob story, try to convince you that Trump was like betraying the military, or that what the military fought for didn't exist anymore because we're enforcing American law somehow. That makes sense. So they wanted to write that story in June. But now that it's December, they want to use it to try to claim they deported a U.S. citizen. And they're screwed over by the fact they wrote about this in June. So they can just stop lying. They can choose to just stop lying and manipulating at any point, but they're not going to, because I guarantee you, you go ask anybody on the left who pays attention to anything about this, and all they'll know is, oh yeah, that Korean soldier that was deported, that was horrible. Wasn't that horrible what she did?
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that. Honestly, I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier, not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I've fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.